tell you what's going to happen tonight. Hold one here. I'm going to speak a few minutes on Choked, which is the first of three Wednesday nights. And then I have five other prophetically gifted people here with me tonight. And about 8 o'clock, we're all going to get turned loose on you is the nicest way of saying it. And you need to have your phone ready to record it. If you don't have it, have someone record it for you. If I just prophesy over you, not many of you are going to get prophesied over, but if six of us are prophesying, it's going to multiply it by six. And so let's pray. Holy Spirit, I just thank you for your mercies tonight. I thank you, Lord, for what you want to say to us. Amen. And when I was praying over this, I felt the Holy Ghost told me to do a series these Wednesday nights entitled Choked. It says in Mark 4, 7 through 19, other seeds, now the seeds were great. That's the seed of change in your life. That's the seed of God's word in your life. Fell among thorn bushes, which grew up and choked what God had planted. So they never bore fruit. Never bore grain. Have you ever had God place a seed in your heart and never bore fruit? Raise your hand. Then it says this, but the worries of this life, the anxieties of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desire for other things choked the word. I've watched many Christians resentful because their word wasn't fulfilled, or the word of God did not seem to be working. Quite honestly, the problem was not in the seed of God's word. The problem was in the soil of their heart. Now I want to examine three things, one tonight, then one next week and the week after, three things that will choke God's word. Tonight I want to talk about anxiety, how anxiety and worry will choke off even the finest seed God can plant. Next week I want to talk about four crippling assumptions. I said four because the Lord told me there are going to be four. I've only got one. I pray to get the other three. I've only got about four assumptions that cripple your Christian growth. Then the last Wednesday night, before we go, I'm going to talk about how the attack of the enemy will choke out what God is doing in your life and how to recognize, okay, that's not me, that's the enemy. Now, Jesus said in John 14, 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. But my peace is different than the one the world gives. Don't let your heart be troubled. How many of you know the command, don't let your heart be troubled, seems impossible? It is impossible unless you understand how God's peace works. Because the peace I'm talking about tonight is not human contentment that flows out of your circumstances. I'm talking about a divine peace that has nothing to do with your circumstances. You say, well, Pastor Jim, I got a lot of divine peace. It just goes up and down with my circumstances. It's not divine then. That's natural. You will know the level of divine peace you're walking in because it's unaffected by your circumstances. Rich, poor, sick, well. Now, I want to help you understand that. But I'm not going to be theoretical tonight. I'm going to be very practical. Now, what would inspire you to want this? Well, it's typically two things I've discovered. One, a real bad problem. Or two, a real big promise. In other words, you're either, Pastor Jim, I'm worried about my job. I'm worried about this. If you're like me and worry from time to time, just raise your hand. Bible says, how many of you have ever changed your life through worrying? I wonder if I could change my life through worrying, I'd be totally transformed. I've tried it in all its forms. How many of you do prayer worry? Where you worry out loud with God and call it prayer. I don't know what I'm going to do. Father in heaven, I'm just out of ideas. Oh my God, are you worried up there like I'm down here? I mean, that's one of our favorite forms of prayer. We worry out loud and we call it prayer. Then there's worry fellowship. I'm just really worried. Man, can you just worry? Don't pray for me. Worry with me. Why is it that we want to bring God down to our level than get mad if he ever gets there. But the other thing that will inspire us is just these big promises of God. He's the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 26:3. He'll keep your mind in perfect peace. John 14:27, I read that one. Philippians 4:7. There's this peace that transcends your understanding. That means you don't worry when in the natural you should. Like you hear the word, they're laying off at my company, and you're not worried. You hear the cancer word. You hear the word that we don't know what to do for your son. He may die. The doctors look at you and say, there's nothing we can do for you. Quit work for 2 years. Now, how is there a peace that transcends that and guards your heart? Guards your heart from what? One, the psychological and physiological realities of stress. Stress, no joke. You live with your flight or flight reflex turned on, if I may use that, chemically going crazy. All of a sudden, your pulse is racing. Your digestive tract is affected. How do we walk in this? I'm going to be real, real practical and talk about how do you implement this? How can you and I walk in such a way that we can begin to experience this peace? That you are not prey to the ebb and flow of your circumstances, but your emotional state is dictated by the constant flow of peace that comes out of the triune God we serve. Now, quite honestly, I'm interested in making the Word of God practical. I love to read it, but when I read it, I always want to know, okay, how can I experience this? How do I do this? Now, the first thing I want to say is you've got to lay a biblical foundation. Isaiah 26:3, it says this, we'll keep you in perfect peace. This promise is a double shalom or a double peace. It's more than just the absence of anxiety or conflict. It is a state of well-being that God also promises to guard us. Now, God says, I've got this double peace for you. Then it says, but here's the condition. You'll keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast. Now, this is an interesting word in the Hebrew. Steadfast means to be founded on or to rest on something. That if your mind is not going to be in free fall, just tumbling around in anxiety, the author of Isaiah, I believe Isaiah, he says this, your mind's got to rest on something. Your heart's got to rest on something. Now, what I've chosen for my heart to rest on is not the promises of man, but the promises of God. So one of the things I do whenever I need an area of change in my life, I begin to go into the Word, and whatever I'm facing, in this case, needing peace, I begin to find the promises I've read to you. I begin to speak them, read them, ponder them, write them out. I'm not going to talk about some of the neurobiological effects of that, but what I want to do is I want to give my mind something to rest on. I want to give my mind something to steady itself on, because in the end, whatever you focus on becomes that which you have faith in. You focus on that problem long enough, it will determine your faith. It's one of the reasons I think when Jesus stood looking at Lazarus' tomb, he didn't look in, he looked up. Because the longer you look, that don't change the problem, the bigger it becomes. Now watch this. Once you've laid that foundation, Philippians 4:6 says, lift your burdens and your anxieties to the Lord. Now it says this, don't be anxious about anything. This is one of the most difficult injunctions in Scripture to comprehend. How? You begin to realize that when you look at Scripture, the only way to leave the life that Christ describes to us is with the power of the Word and the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. You need the help of God to do this. Now, instead of being anxious, it's interesting, Paul talks a lot in his writings about putting off one thing and putting on something new. Have you ever noticed that? Like he says, Stop lying and tell the truth. Stop being angry and be thankful. He always contrasts things. Why? Now, long before they had brain scans, the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to talk about putting off one thing, putting on something new, because that's the very way you change your neural patterns. If you ever want to change an old neural pattern, the only way to do it is not just try by stopping the old one, it's by starting a new one. Now, watch this. So he says, instead of being anxious, instead of being bound by anxiety, instead of letting what God has spoken to you, and one of the most deadly kinds of anxiety is not an anxiety for yourself, it is anticipating the anxiety of someone you love. So you get some news, and typically when you get news, there seems to be a grace from God for the person that gets the news, but you worry more about, what's my spouse going to think? What's my child going to think? What's going to happen to my employees? So a lot of times, it's this kind of anxiety that, oh my gosh, what are they going to do? What are they going to think? That can be even more troubling to us. If he finds out, if she finds out, if they hear what I'm facing. I mean, what will my family do if they hear I have cancer? Now, what do we do? God says this. If you don't want to be anxious, it's not enough to think, I won't be anxious. You've got to put on something. In every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. In my own life, I've learned the importance of verbally lifting up every one of my anxieties and stresses to the Lord in an attitude of prayer and worship. Now, I don't know if I'm an expert at stress management, but I'm definitely an expert at being stressed. It seems like I'm always in some stressful situation. At times, it's put me in the hospital. A few years ago, it was Father's Day, and my feet were going numb, toes going numb, lips going numb. I didn't know what was wrong. How many of you begin to feel like that? Your mind will just take over. You're dying. It's a strange disease. You let that mind wander. It's going to wander to where you don't want it to go. Well, then I was starting to have trouble breathing. And I thought, well, you know, maybe I'm having a medicine reaction. And my youngest daughter was the only one home that Father's Day. Kathy was out with the grandkids. And I go, can you take me to the hospital? She goes, what else is new? So it's getting real late at night. She takes me to the hospital. I'm sitting in there wondering what strange disease is killing me. And the Lord speaks to me, says, there's nothing wrong with you. I said, well, you and I have a little disagreement. You're feeling fine up there. I ain't feeling so good down here. Then he says this to me. He said, you're just stressed. I said, I'm just stressed. I need a vacation. He says, won't help you. He said, all the rest in the world ain't going to deal with this stress unless you rest in me. And I'm not against vacations. Because if you don't rest in me, you're going to stay that way. So, you know, there's, of course, nothing. They're going to send me up to jungle medicine to see if mosquitoes are living inside of me. Who knows what they're going to see? I witnessed to the nurse, invited me to the church, and came home. And the next morning, I woke up. I wrote out every stress I had. I read the list to God. I worshiped him over each and every one of them and tore that list in the trash and threw it away. All of a sudden, the numbness left my lips. Everything changed. Now, what happened? Now, long-term stress can affect you where it's not so simple. But here's the key. This word in Philippians 4:7 says this. Let the peace of God rule and guard your heart and mind. Here's the key. The word of God, as much as it's objective truth that we base our life on, also involves subjective experience. Now, the Bible says we live by faith, not by sight. I don't know about you. I like a little sight. How about you? I like to feel something. That doesn't mean I'm only going to obey when I feel, but it does mean I want to experience it. So I begin to ponder. This peace, which transcends all my understanding, it'll guard me from the harmful effects of stress. How do I experience it? Like, what's it like? So I'm sitting there. I've written out my stresses. I read them, and I go back to work. That wasn't working for me. I begin to realize I'm somehow missing a step here. Like, if there's this supernatural peace, which is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, flows out of the triune God, how do I do? Here's what I begin to do. So when I wrote them all out and began to read them, and sometimes my list is very long, I put this microphone down 1 second. In fact, Philip, come hold this microphone from my mouth 1 second. Thank you. I raised my hands. When I got done, I put my hands up. I got real quiet. And I said, Lord, for every stress I give you, I need you to replace it with supernatural stress, supernatural peace. I took a deep breath, which is good when you're stressed anyway. I took a deep breath. Blew out, and I begin to softly worship in my prayer language. I begin to praise and thank God, and the next thing I knew, I could feel the Holy Spirit seeping into my soul. And as he flowed into my soul, something began to happen. My chemical balances were affected. God's word began to stir in me, because these promises aren't just like objective, logical reality. Now, whether I feel anything or not, I'm going to believe God's word and walk in it. But I encourage you to slow yourself down as you're giving these stresses to God and allow his presence and his peace and his grace to seep into your soul, to seep into it, to flow into it. And when you do, you know what will happen? You're going to begin to be ruled by peace, not by painful anxiety. Our first reaction is never to wait on God. It's always to worry. The first reaction when you hear news that's going to affect you or one of your loved ones is to worry, think about it, get mad about it, try to think your way out of it. There's no thinking your way out of certain things. Number one, God never promises to give you grace for tomorrow, today. You're not thinking what's going to happen tomorrow, what's going to happen the next day. There's no grace for that. All I can do is say, I trust you. Because if you don't, that worry will wreck what God's given you. Don't let tomorrow's worry wreck today's place. Don't do it. This is not, Christianity is not just another philosophy. It's not just a kind of a midnight TV show course of principles that if you say them enough, fast enough, and believe them, you'll feel better. No. It is a relationship with the living God and creator of all the universe. And what the principles do is they position your life to receive from him. Without that life, you're going to be lifeless even with the right principles. It's the life of God. It's a real thing. It's resurrection life. It's abundant life. And that is why you can be peaceful. No matter, there could be someone here tonight thinking, I've been told I have 2 weeks to live. You could be flooded with peace. That's how power. Now, may God heal you. But you could be flooded with peace. I've had my share of bad news. Kathy's had share of bad news. The Bible says, one of the other promises that are real hard to believe, the righteous has no fear of bad news. I'm still looking to meet him, but I know it must be true. The Bible says it. Or meet her. You see, worry will choke out. Worry can reduce your promised land to a desert. It can reduce your most joyful day to the day from hell. Worry. The Bible says nothing can change by worry. If I'm not mistaken, it says you can't add one thing to your life. It's worry. Now, once this peace flows into you, it's my last point. You've got to look out for the stress and anxiety waiting to test your newfound peace. How many of you know the minute you walk out of the presence of God, you're going to want to worry again? Now, listen to me carefully. Look at Isaiah 30, 15 and 16, my last verse. This is what the sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. In repentance and rest was your salvation. If you'd have just turned around and rested in my presence, you'd have been fine. They had a lot to worry about. They had the Assyrian army, who had never been defeated, coming to destroy their city. The Assyrian army was known for brutality, sacking cities, wiping out populations. I mean, and when you look at Sennacherib's record, at one point, don't quote the number, I think I'm right, he'd taken 39 straight cities. He was the undefeated general. He was on the way. God said, listen, I told you, if you would have just repented and rested, you'd be fine. And by the way, it was fine. The Bible records an angel wiped out his army. He ran for his life and his sons killed him. In quietness and trust, but you'd have none of it. We're going to flee on horses. We're going to run down to Egypt and get their help. Therefore, you'll flee. You'll ride on your horses, but your pursuers will be swift. You see, anxiety will drive you to decisions which can wreck the purpose of God in your life. You can get so anxious and so worried about something, you might refuse to do it God's way. And here is what I've learned. The peace of God is never about panic. You're never going to feel just driving urgency. The minute I come out of my place with God, something for sure is going to trigger that worry in me. It's going to trigger that anxiety in me. And everything in me is going to want to ride the wave of that anxiety to my, I'll tell him, I'll figure it out, I'll do it, I know I can do it. No, I can't. That's why I'm worried. The things you worry about typically aren't things you can control, because if you could control them, you wouldn't be worried. It's real simple. If you can control it, why would you worry? You're worried because you can't. When that's the case, you become your own God. If you always turn to yourself when you're worried, or in reality, whatever you turn to, becomes a little bit of your God at that moment. Now let's summarize this. No matter what you're facing tonight, the enemy wants to use anxiety to choke God's promise in you, to choke God's progress in you, to choke God's purpose in you. I love peace, I have to admit. No matter what you're facing, you say tonight, Pastor, I need the peace of God to flood my soul. Raise your hand. I want you to put both hands up just for a moment. Keyboard players too. I'd love him to play now. I want you to articulate, Lord, this is what I'm worried about. Tell him right now. I'm going to do the same thing. I have six or seven ones fresh on my mind. You just tell him. Take a minute. Maybe like me, you're surprised how many worries are coming to your mind. I thought I was doing pretty well, but I'm already at six. Now, I want you to take a deep breath. And now lift each worry to God and thank him for taking it. Oh, lift that worry to him. No matter what's been building up in your soul. What you're facing, no matter how excruciating it may be. Now, say this, Lord Jesus, replace my anxieties with your peace. Breathe that peace in. Softly thank him. If you have the gift of tongues, softly just worship in tongues a moment. Just softly. Just quietly worship. Oh, let that peace of God flow into us.
We receive your peace tonight, Holy Spirit. Peace is a fruit of the Spirit. That means because it flows out of you, Holy Spirit, we can have peace no matter what our circumstances. Pray for every man, woman here to experience your peace. I'd like my prophetic team just to come up here to me just for a moment, please. You know who you are. I've already talked to you. In a moment, I want, if one of them approaches you, please get your phone. And if you get processed by one of them, be honest and tell them. We want everybody to get it, as many people as possible get a chance. So, Lord, I thank you for the spirit of prophecy. And so you can sit right where you are, and we'll have three kind of fan to this side and three to that side. And we just won't come prophesy. All righty. And while you're listening, just pray for God to speak to the person if they're close to you. God knows who needs to hear tonight. All righty. Thank you. Thank you.
church of prayer, a church of prayer. Fire on our altar never burn. May the fire on our altar.
All righty, praise the Lord. I need my prophetic ministers to finish up. I'm going to be handing this back to Pastor Bruce in a moment, or Pastor Philip in a moment. Yes, we got children in the nursery, so I'm gonna invite some more prophetic ministers back next week. Maybe we just try this again. I'll do part two, as usual. It's a pleasure to be with you. You'll see many of them needing to slip out. I've got other things to do myself, but I'll look forward to seeing you again next week. Here's Philip.
This has been good, hasn't it? I mean, even if you didn't specifically get a word, I think that if we, you know, just linger in his presence, that he will speak to us. You know, if you've got an open heart, thank you, my brother, so much for being here. That's been really good. That's been really good. So Pastor Jim is going to be here again next Wednesday. We do want to encourage you as well to bring other people. You know, maybe, you know, if your walk with the Lord is at least a little bit, you're walking. There's other people that aren't even walking that they could maybe use this same presence. Amen. So let's just go ahead and try to bring some more people next week as well. Father, we thank you so much. Thank you for your sweet, sweet presence, your peace that surpasses all understanding. God, we honor you. We bless you. Thank you that you are the Prince of Peace. Lord, and you do keep our minds in perfect peace as our minds are stayed steadfast, persevering in you. And I pray that even as we go from this place, that you would continue to keep us in that peace, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you and make his face to shine upon you. Remember, if you have children in the back, you need to go get them and take them home, or you'll lose that peace real soon. So just go ahead and get your children. We love you. Come back again next week.